The season in regular form, Will, is over. But this means that it's championship week, unless you're in the Big 12, then it's still the regular season. But they have one true champion there in the Big 12, Will, unlike every other conference, I guess. I don't really understand that. Even though last year they did have two champions, so that's confusing also.
Well, it's one true champion because they all play together. So, you know, they all play each other. So, like, for example, in the ACC, the SEC, you know, all the other conferences, we'll never know who the real champion is because Wake Forest never played Miami.
Sure.
You know?
Right, and Missouri didn't get their fair shake at Bama.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. That's a valid point.
Yeah.
That's a valid point from the Big 12, and maybe they can get two teams in the four-team playoff this year.
Well, they deserve two teams. If it were me voting, I'd get them in. Speaking of, I guess the rankings.
College football.
I guess this is a good time for any. Let's, you know, I'm not one for really spending a whole lot of time diving into who's going to make it into the playoffs. We haven't done that a whole lot this season, as a lot of other radio hosts and whatnot spend an awful lot of time doing that. But now with 1 weekend left, what do you think, Andrew? Let's just spend a few minutes and let's just walk through the games that, you know, we have. We won't make our predictions yet, but let's just say, like, the what ifs.
Sure.
What do you think about this? Who's going to get in? Who's on the outside looking in? Are there any teams that could sneak in?
Sure.
I mean, at the top, and we'll just kind of run through, really just run through the top 10.
Okay. Okay. Well, here,
so yeah.
This is one. The easiest thing to say, the Big Ten is going to have a representative. Iowa or
yes.
Michigan State, one of those two teams is in.
Right.
And really, I would say that they are probably the only conference that we can 110% surely say will be included.
Yeah, I you could also say that about the Big 12 because Oklahoma is sitting there at number 3, and I can't think of a scenario where they would budge. They might drop to the fourth spot,
right?
And their season's over with. Yeah,
yeah.
They're 11-1. It's done. But I mean, just looking at the top 10, I'm just going to read them off real quick, and maybe we can eliminate some teams.
Sure.
Real quick.
Oh, yeah.
We have Clemson, Alabama, Oklahoma, Iowa, Michigan State, Ohio State, Stanford, Notre Dame, Florida State, and North Carolina. Now, right off the bat, I think that Notre Dame and Florida State have no shot.
No
getting
shot.
In.
Right, and I don't think
no shot whatsoever.
Ohio State has any shot either.
People are saying that they have a shot, but I agree with you. I think that things would have to get awfully crazy for Ohio State to have a shot. So I think that they are out too, especially since their season's over and they didn't even win their division. So I think you can comfortably say that Ohio State, Notre Dame, and Florida State are out.
And here is why I would say Ohio State is out, because you already have one Big Ten team in. So that's one. Even if you have Clemson and North Carolina wins, well, North Carolina, I think, would get in over Ohio State, a second Big Ten team. So that's two. Then I think, honestly, I would put Notre Dame in ahead of Ohio State.
I don't think so because
really?
They have those two losses. I mean, they're 10-2. I think Notre Dame is done. They're going to play in a big bowl this year, but I don't think that they're going to be doing any moving.
Well, do you think that Stanford would get in over Ohio State?
I think they would get in over Ohio State, yeah, because they do play the Pac-12 championship game, and if they win that against a top 20 USC team, then I think that would put them over the you know, that would move them ahead of an idle Ohio State.
Okay. Yeah.
Looking at the teams at the top, obviously Clemson wins are in. Obviously Bama wins are in. Oklahoma, they don't have to do anything. They're in. And then, like you said, the 100% true, the winner of the Big Ten championship, Iowa and Michigan State, one of those teams is in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a 50-50 shot for either one of them. One of those two are in. Now, I think the big question is, if there are some upsets in some of the other games, could other teams sneak in? So, for example, the real question everybody is asking is does North Carolina have a shot at getting in if they beat number one? And not just number one, they've been number one the entire time the football rankings have been out. If North Carolina beats Clemson and they do it in convincing fashion, is that enough for them to get into the top four?
It should be, but I'm
afraid. It should be.
I'm afraid that some of these other schools will politic their way into a berth. The problem will be for North Carolina, they lost to a bad SEC team, and their two of their wins in out of conference came from 1AA schools. So they have two
and
of
this
those
is
on
also
their schedule.
This is also the very first ranked team that they are playing all season. They have not had a single game this season against a ranked team.
Yeah.
So they are 0-0 against ranked opponents.
Yeah,
hurt
them. That's not going to help.
I'm not so sure that the two FCS teams hurt them really bad, because most teams, every team in this list played a Division I opponent that could fall into the, you know, the ranks of the FCS. I mean, you know, is really not that much better.
But that was the big argument against Baylor last year, is that Baylor's out-of-conference schedule was really poor, and that therefore TCU should be in over Baylor. Now, neither of them got in, but that was the argument against Baylor.
Right. No, I mean, I agree with you. But, I mean, North Carolina, I mean, they did lose to an SEC team, so.
Yeah.
That's good for them, right?
Quality loss, right?
It should be a quality loss. And now think of this. Let's go back to last year and look at Ohio State. And what is so different about UNC's resume versus Ohio State's last year?
Urban Meyer's really Ohio good State. At politicking. That's the difference. Yeah. Urban Meyer's really good at politicking. And I think he's been there, and so people believe that he has a good team. Whereas North Carolina, people just don't believe that this is a good team. And I really think that if they got in the playoff, they could wreak some havoc just because their offense is so explosive.
Yeah.
And it would really throw a curveball in the system.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think if North Carolina gets in, I mean, they would be a real contender. It wouldn't be a team that would be a total pushover. Because if you look at what they've done since the very first game of the season where they lost to South Carolina, they've scored a bunch of points in almost every single one of their games, and they've played adequate defense throughout. Now, NC State scored 34 points against them last week, but a little bit of those points were late in the game when the game was already decided.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at everything else for the rest of their season, they've done really, really well on defense and against some teams with some pretty good offenses.
Right.
So, I think that North Carolina would fit in fine in the top four. And plus, if you beat Clemson, I mean, everybody keeps talking about their strength of schedule, but they're going to play the number one team in the country.
Right.
And if they beat them, they would be the only team that has beaten the number one. I mean, last year, how many times did the number one team lose? At least a few times.
A few times, yeah.
It was a few times during the season that the number one team ended up losing during the regular season, because it changed hands a few times before the final poll. So they would be the only team this year to knock off the top team
in the college football playoff.
You
mean?
Yeah. In the college football. And that to me is a really big deal. And, you know, if so many times you always say if you lose a game, you want to lose a game early. Well, they couldn't have lost a game any earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think they could legitimately get in.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the problem still lies in with the ACC bias. I mean, that really is,
right.
is the problem. Is that an ACC, and we see now,
but okay,
that the
okay,
ACC
well, it's just
the only conference that this applies to, where if you have to go undefeated. I mean, even the Pac-12 is being said that Stanford has a shot, and they've got two losses. And Michigan State and the Big Ten, and people talk about how weak the Big Ten is. They talked about it all season long, but it doesn't matter. They have a loss. They still are in. So really, the ACC is the only conference where you are held to the standard that you have to win all of your games because the conference is so quote-unquote weak.
Yeah, and that's the thing that really bothers me is that if Stanford gets in with two losses over a team with one loss, I think that says that the system is broken, and because I don't think that you could really say that Stanford's schedule is unequivocally so difficult as to say that two losses is okay. I mean, they lost to Oregon. You know, Oregon went 9-3 this season. I mean, Oregon they're not ranked. So, or maybe they are ranked. Maybe they did
not
they
not in the college
rankings.
Football playoff rankings, not in the top 10. But yeah.
Right. Yeah. But I don't know. I just think that having two losses should be a punishment, you know? And all that said, though, Stanford does have to beat USC, and USC has played really well of late. Mm-hmm. Since they fired their coach, they're 8-4, but I mean, they did lose to Oregon. But they've won some big games. They beat number 3 Utah. They beat Cal, Arizona, and then last week they cleaned UCLA's clock. So it's no cakewalk for Stanford to win that game either.
Yeah.
So if let's just say this: if UNC wins and if USC wins, I mean I can't see any reason why you would ever leave UNC out of the top 4. I don't think you would put Ohio State in above them.
I think some people would, but it really would be very similar. North Carolina, as you alluded to earlier, is very similar to Ohio State last year.
But they don't have the name recognition
Correct.
For football.
Correct.
And they
Correct.
Don't have, you know, they haven't been there all season. They're mm-hmm. just this, they're just cracking the top 10. Where all these other every other team in the top 10 right now has been there for a significant amount of time.
Yeah,
so,
and as
yeah,
I
they would
say,
be, they're the new guys to the party, and are you going to let the new guys to the party into mm-hmm. the playoff?
Yeah, and to me, it's good for college football to have North Carolina, to have Iowa, to have those schools in there. I mean, that's you want to see. That there is parity in the sport. You want people to believe that any team has a shot. And I think that if you put in Notre Dame or Ohio State, especially
or Stanford.
Two, or Stanford, but Notre Dame and Ohio State, Stanford, if you put them in over North Carolina, what you do is you show that it is not anybody's game, that there is not parity, that you have to be one of the people that we have predetermined to be mm-hmm. a success story. And that's
exactly.
not fair, really.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't say that. You would say, well, they lost to a bad team. But if you go back, I mean, some people have short memories. If you go back to last year, Ohio State was let in over Baylor and over TCU, teams that should not be part of the party, teams that are not supposed to be good. Mm-hmm. So you let that team in. And then, oh, they win. It shows that we were right. Well, you need to give these schools that are not part of the you know, the teams that are supposed to be there a chance. That's why it'd be great for college football. You have to put in Michigan State or Iowa. They can't leave them out. I'm sure they would want to. I'm sure they would want Ohio State in over Michigan State or Iowa. But they can't.
Oh, absolutely.
They can't.
Absolutely.
Iowa, if Iowa beats Michigan State, you have to put them in. And
oh, and what people, like, you know, from listening to the sports radio, no one thinks that Iowa is actually a top four team.
Right. Right.
Even if they beat Michigan State, they are not a top four team.
Right.
And they shouldn't, and Ohio State should be in there, because what they all say is, like, you got to get the four best teams in the top four.
Well,
what's your definition of the best team? My definition is you win the proper amount of games and you get in. But the eye test is a thing in this sport.
Bull.
It's the
That's
only sport,
bull.
And it's total bull.
Yeah.
Where the eye test is something that matters. It's stupid.
Well, see, means that there can never be a team. There can never be a team that we have not pre-chosen to be good, that we have not looked at the rankings of their recruits. See, that's the thing, is that you start by saying, okay, Ohio State has all of these top 50 recruits on their team. That's the eye test. Look at all the recruits they have. Oh, well, they lost the
and
game,
Iowa,
but they've
Iowa
got the
only
players.
Has Iowa has 8 four-star recruits. So they can't be. They
right.
can't be a top 14.
They can't be good.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they went 13-0.
Right.
Doesn't matter. They're not a top 14. They shouldn't be there. Now, of course, the playoff committee wouldn't dare do that. But that's what there's Ohio State fans that say that they should be in because we are Ohio State and we have all these recruits and we are obviously better than Iowa. So they should be in.
Right.
But
you go back 25 years, and I think that we don't talk about this enough on the show, but Georgia Tech really has the last non-power elite school, factory school, I guess would be the phrase, so the last
factory school
championship. And it was the same kind of deal, is that the team came out of nowhere. People didn't expect that they were good. They kept winning. They kept beating teams. But nobody gave them a chance. It was not real. They weren't really, even though they won, they weren't.
And then
the
even in the
it.
Final, even in the final polls,
right? The sports,
you know, they didn't get it in the AP.
Still, the sports.
They didn't.
Writers,
no one believed it. If it was the coaches' poll that got them there,
right?
They got them the championship.
And there are still people who would say, well, really, Miami was the best team that year. They just lost a couple games.
Yeah.
You know, and so winning doesn't matter. It's like
winning
you say, it's the eye test. And I think that the playoff makes it easier for us to get these teams in some ways. Because if you win your conference, you have a shot. However, there's
always
going to be
like
people who want to put in a team that didn't win their conference over one that did. Because it's the eye test. It's the name recognition.
It's like the year that LSU and Alabama played two games in a row.
Right. Oklahoma State should have been in that championship game.
Yeah. But it was the eye test. Like, okay, we take a team that didn't even win their division and we put them in the national championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Because we say that they're the best. That's a load of bullcrap. They didn't even win their division. Like, how can you have a national championship with games played with, you know, the same, you know, teams that you've pre-selected? Like, imagine if that happened in baseball. Like, what if the Yankees lost in the divisional series or something like that, or they didn't make the playoffs, or something?
And you just put them in.
But then when the World Series comes around, you know, you had the Minnesota Twins win the ALCS, but the commissioner of baseball is like, well, the Yankees are using the eye test, they're the best team, so they're going to be in the World Series. What? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Like, but in college football, that's completely acceptable. And it happens almost every year that somebody is up near the top, near the end of the year, that why are they there? You know, or why do they have a shot at getting into the playoffs when they can't win anything? There's a bunch of teams here that should be eliminated from competition in the playoff. Ohio State is among them. Notre Dame, Florida State. They should not be considered because their season is over. They can't win anything. The only teams that should be considered are the teams that can actually win something. I even hate to even put Oklahoma in that list because, Oklahoma is 11-1, but they don't play a 13th game. And I don't think that's fair to the other four conferences in college football. That you got to that Clemson has to go out on the line. And what if they lose? What if Clemson is 12-1 and they lose a nail biter to UNC? Clemson is obviously better than Oklahoma from a record standpoint, and even from a scheduling and their wins standpoint. They've beaten some really good teams, including Notre Dame and Florida State. So you're going to say that because they had to play that 13th game, they are punished, and Oklahoma gets in above Clemson. That's not fair to me. Same thing for Iowa. If Iowa loses, now, granted, Michigan State should get in, of course, but they'll be at 12-1, and they have been punished for playing that 13th game. Same with Alabama. If Alabama loses to Florida, which they won't, but if they do, then they will be punished by playing that 13th game in Oklahoma because they didn't play it. It's just going to cruise on in. That, to me, is not fair. If you want to play in the playoffs, I think you should play that 13th game.
Yeah, I agree with you, Will. I think that you're right. And, you know, I don't know how you eliminate the problem of, at the end of the day, you have a group of people in a room deciding who the best teams are. Because you know that those people have not sat down and watched every single team. They've probably watched the teams that are the high-profile
pre-selected
teams. Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe they caught... I mean, I would pick UNC out again. I'm sure at the beginning of the season, none of them were watching UNC to see how they played so that they would how good they were for the playoff.
You have three two-loss teams ahead of UNC. Nobody has watched UNC play.
Right. And that, there's your problem, is that since they weren't on the radar, it's, well, I'm going to watch the teams that I need to know about. And so who at the beginning of the season you're watching? You're watching Oregon, who now doesn't even matter. But you're, oh, I got to make sure I know what Oregon, how good they look, and if they pass the eye test. Yeah, they pass the eye test. They're still scoring a bunch of points. Oh, well, doesn't even matter now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and, of course, you're watching Bama, and you're watching Ohio State, and, of course, D-Rad's on the committee, so you're watching Clemson.
Yeah. Well, see, the problem is, Will, when you watch a team often, you can always look at it and be like, wow, well, you know, they lost three games, but they look pretty good in those games. I was watching them. I mean, they played them close. It's a lot different from where if you just see a box score and you see that somebody lost by two touchdowns. Oh, wow, they lost by two touchdowns. They got killed. But you could have watched that game, the whole thing, and seen that they were in the game until the fourth quarter, and there at the end, some fluke play
game
happened
control.
And they gave up a touchdown and then an onside kick. I mean, you know, you just you view it differently. And
right.
The team that you view a lot, the teams you see a lot, you see that really – there is a lot of parity, and these losses are close, but a team like North Carolina doesn't get that benefit because nobody's watched them play.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, wow, they lost to a 3-8 South Carolina team? They must be terrible. And that's just not fair to North Carolina.
Right. No, I totally agree.
So the moral of the story is, if North Carolina beats Clemson, they should be in.
Oh, yeah, totally. Totally. But I guess that won't be answered until Sunday afternoon.
Correct.
Right. Hey, moving on just a little bit. We're going to come back and pick these games. We're going to pick all of the games. We're going to pick all four of the games. We're going to venture into other conferences and pick their games for them.
Okay.
Hope we don't offend... you know, the Big Ten, Big 12, you know, college football podcast. I think they call it their Third and Long, I think.
Yes.
I don't know if
yes.
you know about that
or
one.
Or toughnosedefense.com or something like that.
Yeah. We don't want to offend any of those guys, but we're going to pick their conference games for them. So we'll get back to that in a little bit. We do have some coaching news that I think we need to talk about for at least a few minutes.
Sure.
As we discussed in the last show, Mark Richt is no longer coach of the Georgia Bulldogs. He was, I don't know how you want to put, people say he resigned, but he was fired. Let's just let's just, you know, say this like it is. He was fired. Georgia has since hired a new coach. If you're listening to the show, I'm sure you know that Kirby Smart, the defensive coordinator from Alabama, was hired on as Georgia's new coach. And then you also have a new coach or a new coaching destination for Mark Richt. He is now the coach of the Miami Hurricanes.
Right.
Andrew, what are your initial reactions to both of these hires?
Well, for Miami, this is a home run hire. You could not have hired a better coach. Based on the people they interviewed, this was the person. I honestly thought that Butch Davis was going to come back to Miami. And honestly, if Mark Richt was not available, I think they would have hired Butch Davis, because Miami at this juncture is just not an A-list job anymore. Mm-hmm. It could be, and there are the – you're always going to have the players. The problem is facility-wise and alumni support-wise, you just don't have the numbers. So you can't go out there and get an A-list coach.
Right.
Unless there is a former coach – or some alumni who's a top-tier coach who wants to come back. And this is what happened. You had the coaching search that interviewed a former coach who wanted to come back and an alumni. And I think they made the right decision, because the former coach in Butch Davis has some baggage. And there's a reason why he's not coaching anywhere else. And that's because, you know, he is – been caught with some of his assistants were cheating, and there was a big scandal, and he was never implicated, but that is still baggage. However, Mark Richt, always the thing that's followed him around is that he runs a clean program. He doesn't over-recruit. That's something that a lot of the schools in the SEC do. They will recruit more players than they're actually going to play. They'll gray shirt, and then players will take medical hardship waivers, and then you do the whole thing over again. Mark Richt never has done that, and he believes in the student-athlete, and I think that because of those things, and because Miami is always going to struggle with an image problem, Mark Richt's a great hire. Now, we know that there have been those kind of things going on at Georgia as time has gone on. I mean, there have been arrests and whatnot, and that's going to happen in Miami. I mean, it always has happened, so you're not going to see something different. It will happen, but Mark Richt is not going to oversign, and he's going to make sure the players graduate. The players are going to – he's going to graduate players from college. So because of that, from an image standpoint and from a coach's standpoint, this is a guy who was fired after going 9-3, potentially going to win a 10th game. He has won about 73% of his games. You don't think that Miami salivates for that? When was the last time they had a 10-win season?
He's got winning records against nearly every single one of Georgia's main rivals.
Right. Yeah. So if you're Florida State right now, you're probably concerned. If you're everybody else in the Coastal, you're probably concerned, because as we saw the last few weeks, once Al Golden was fired, the players on Miami were pretty good. They just weren't really playing. I mean,
yeah.
You don't think Mark Richt could have made that game against Clemson close?
Right.
Sure. Absolutely. I think he could. And I think that with him on the sideline, you might not win a championship, but you're going to consistently win 8, 9, probably 10 games, especially because the ACC Coastal, you have several gimmies every year. You're playing Virginia every year. You're playing Duke every year. You're playing, Boston College, and you're going to play Wake Forest every few years. So you're playing games that you have a chance to win. I think it's a great hire. I think that you have a proven coach, and you weren't going to have the opportunity to get many other proven coaches at this juncture. He has the ability to get the alumni back on board and help try and bring Miami back together and bring people to the games.
Absolutely.
Which hasn't happened in a while. Now, and then you asked about these other jobs too, right, Will?
Yeah, what about Kirby Smart at Georgia?
I think this is what we would use a golf term and say this is kind of par for the course. as much as Georgia thinks that they can fire somebody and bring in Nick Saban, every coach that Georgia has ever hired, except for Jim Donnan, at least in the modern era, has been an assistant before they got there. Vince Dooley was an assistant before he got there. Mark Richt was an assistant before he got there. Ray Goff was an assistant before he got there. It was their first job. So this is kind of par for the course. I don't know that that means it's a good or bad hire. If he is a good hire, he's only 39 years old, so he'll be there for a long time. It's not like he's only going to be there for 3 or 4 years and then leave. So you're going to have him for a long time. He's an alum. He's not going anywhere else. You don't have to worry about him jumping ship. This is a destination job. You have the resources, as we all know. But it is very much a high risk, high reward. If he's great, then he's going to be there and he's not going to be gone. You're not going to be worried about him leaving. But if it's a struggle and then you see Mark Richt down at Miami winning the ACC, it's going to be really cruel to watch because you are going to question it. So I think for that reason, Kirby Smart has his work cut out for him, knowing that his predecessor isn't retiring. His predecessor is going to another elite-level job immediately. So he is going to be...
A predecessor that was, you know, idolized by the fans.
Right. Right. So he's going to have to every year do better than Mark Richt.
Yes.
And if he doesn't, everything is going to be questioned. So he has it really, even though he's an alum, yeah, everybody can talk about how, you know, hey, he's a former player, so it's all smoothing
okay,
it over
he,
and
he,
stuff.
Nuh-uh. He's an alum, but, I mean, is he, you know, no one really talks about him that much. I mean, it's not like he was a head coach that was highly praised and like, oh, when's he going to come home? No one was saying that. It was just the obvious choice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with Mark Richt, I mean, that's a, like you said, it's a home run, and Miami fans, they've known about Mark Richt forever. Obviously, probably have wanted him for years, and now he's coming back. It's like, you know, the prodigal son returns. Kirby Smart's not really getting that reception.
No.
Because there's a lot of people that are really on the fence about this hire.
Yeah, you're walking into a hornet's nest is what you're doing.
Absolutely.
And I think it's one of those things. It's very similar to when Tommy Tuberville was fired from Auburn after one bad year. Okay, he'd been successful there. Tommy Tuberville was at Auburn for 10 years. Was pretty successful.
Yeah.
Took him to an undefeated season. And probably should have had an opportunity to play for a national title. So, Tuberville, one bad year, given the boot. They hire Gene Chizik, and it's a hornet's nest you're walking into, is that he's not been as successful as people would think, and then they thought, hey, we should get a better coach than this. And it was pretty much, he had to win a national title before he silenced any critics. Even when
right.
he did that, it didn't matter. He had one bad year after winning a national title, and then he was a buffoon, and he didn't get credit for the national title that he won.
No, he did not.
So
yeah.
I think it's very similar. And I really would say that Kirby Smart has his work cut out for him, because if this first year he goes into Florida, loses to Florida, Mark Richt goes over to Florida State, beats Florida State, which Florida State is a home game for Miami this year. I think that the fan base is going to turn pretty quick. The idea that he's an alum is going to be forgotten, and people are going to start putting Ray Goff 2.0 all over the internet. I mean, it's going to be quick. So he has to be successful from day one. It's a very tough job that he's stepping into.
Absolutely.
It's tough to follow a legend, Will. It's really tough. Ask Ron Zook.
Right, exactly.
Ask
okay,
Will Muschamp.
Let's get to the championship games real quick. We're going to run through all four of them and get your thoughts. Let's go far out west as we can get, and we'll come east. USC and Stanford. What do you think about this one?
Stanford is always there, man. They play sound ball. At the beginning of the year, remember, they lost to Northwestern, and they were basically left out for dead. And here they are at the end of the year. They play really right. well. David Shaw is a great coach, keeping them consistent. Then again, USC is always USC. And they fired their coach. They did the right thing this time and kept the assistant on. This is the second time they've done this in a couple years. And this time they kept the assistant who kind of righted the ship. It would be a perfect ending for USC to upset Stanford. They killed UCLA last week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pick USC. I think USC is a really sexy pick, and I'm falling under their spell, Will. I think they have the firepower, and it's one of those deals where their former assistant was and then became interim, now head coach, Clay Helton. They want to win it for him. I think they're going to come out firing, and all cylinders are go. They're going to win this game, I think.
Yeah, you know what? I'm actually going to agree with you. I think USC can win this game too. Stanford, they had their biggest win of the year was against Notre Dame, and they had to do it by hitting a last-second field goal
mm-hmm.
to win. That win against Notre Dame was not against the same team that lost to Clemson earlier in the year.
Right.
That was a very, very hurt Notre Dame team. They were without a lot of players for that game, chief among them their running back, Prosythe. And without him, they just didn't have the same offense that they had in previous weeks. So I think that Stanford is really good. I don't think they're as quite as good as they think they are. And I think you're right. I think USC is going to play for their coach, and they're going to carry that momentum from their last win and into this one. I agree with you. They win this game.
Okay.
All right, next one, Michigan State and Iowa. Michigan State, of course, has one loss. Iowa is undefeated.
Yeah,
who do you have in this one?
You know, well, I've always been a Michigan State guy. I always seem to pick Michigan State. I really, really like them and think they have such a good defense. But I'm going to go out on a limb here. Iowa hasn't lost at all this year, and I think Michigan State has the tools, and they could very easily run away with this game. I just want to believe that Iowa has got one more magic up their sleeve, I guess. I think they play tough defense. They don't have a lot of really big star players. But I've watched them play a few times. That defense is just stifling, and they find ways to win. It's not pretty, but they just somehow figure it out. I think Iowa is going to shock a lot of people, and I think Iowa's going to win this game.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, you're right. You look at the games that they played, there's a lot of close games in there. Pittsburgh, 3 points. Wisconsin, 4 points. Illinois, 9 points. Indiana, 8 points. Minnesota, 5 points. Nebraska, 8 points.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of really, really close games throughout their season. But they play smart football. They play good defense. And they have some players that are you know, pretty good. That Jordan Canzari, that running back, he's got almost 1,000 rushing yards this season. Who would have thought that a Iowa running back would have 1,000 yards at the end of the season.
Right.
I mean, that's crazy. I don't know when that's happened last. I think that Iowa could absolutely win this game, and it would be a great story. Iowa is a team that no one would have pegged at the beginning of the season to be in this position. Not only do I think that Iowa's going to win, I'm pulling for Iowa. I hope they make it into the playoffs, and I hope they get into the national championship game too.
Wow.
I'm absolutely pulling for them. Let's go a little further east now. SEC championship game, Florida at Alabama. Now, Bama has no business losing this game. Does Florida have a shot at all?
I don't think so. And I go back to this, Will. In 2006, you probably remember that well, Georgia Tech played Wake Forest in the ACC title game. The week before, they had lost to Georgia, and it was something they talked about in the pregame, how it's difficult to come off a really emotional loss like that and then follow it up the next week with a win, especially against a really good team. So even though in 2009 Georgia Tech played in the ACC title game and won it after losing to Georgia, I think it was different because the coaching staff had been around a long time and been able to kind of, maybe settle it down a little bit. You got to remember, this is not Jim McElwain. This is his first year at Florida. He's only been a head coach for a few years. I think that it's going to be tough to be just so dismantled by Florida State and come back firing against a really good Alabama team. You needed to play a perfect game to have a shot at Bama. And I don't know how you're going to come back. You've had so many close wins throughout the year that you kind of feel like, well, magic is on our side. And then it all comes crashing down. It's going to be really hard to get up in a week for that.
And I don't think
you have a chance.
And not only that, even if you do have a perfect game, if you're going to beat Bama, you're going to have to kick some field goals. And you might be able to slow down Bama's offense, but you're going to have to take points every chance that you get them. And Florida doesn't have a field goal kicker.
Right, you don't have a kicker.
I mean, it's embarrassing. And, you know, what if they do keep Bama to, you know, 20 points. Like, let's just say they play lights out, and then they get a pick six or something, or they score a touchdown on special teams, and then they also manage to score one touchdown. Then they're going to have to rely on some points from field goals to turn the tide and maybe have a chance at winning. And their field goal kicker can't hit anything. He's atrociously bad. So I think that not only is Bama just a better team, especially on offense, they probably have the Heisman Trophy winner running the ball. Florida doesn't have the advantages anywhere on the field, really. And they won't be able to rely on special teams to get them some points, you know, when they get in the red zone and stall. And if they come away empty every single time that happens, you're absolutely going to lose. So, yeah, I think Bama wins. I don't even think it's close. I mean, 27-2, you know, I don't know if you could get worse than that, but it's going to be in the same ballpark as bad.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I really don't think that Florida is there yet. I mean, I think Florida is a year or two away from really being able to compete offensively, especially. I mean, they have a great defense, but Alabama does too. And the only thing that might help Florida, and you got to be praying for, is that maybe Kirby Smart is looking ahead.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Ah,
no way.
You know, I mean, you got to remember, go back a little bit, but when Oklahoma played Florida State in the 2000 national title game, later on, years later, Mark Richt said that he should have resigned before the game. He really wanted to coach in the national title game because it's a national title game. I mean, he wanted to be there. But he said that he should have left. He should have resigned because it was impossible for him to prepare for that game and also prepare for his new head coaching job. So I think that it's very easy to look ahead, especially, you know, if you think you're trying to juggle this new job and, well, we're going to outmatch Florida. So that's what you have to be praying for. I don't think it will matter. It might make the game closer than it has to be. Florida might get a couple cheap touchdowns, but I still think Alabama is just too much for Florida to be able to hang close.
Right. Okay, and we've moved as far east as we can go. We're in Charlotte now. North Carolina and Clemson. We've talked about this scenario a bunch, but let's put our money where our mouth is. Who's going to win this game?
Clemson. Clemson's going to win this game. They haven't lost anybody all year. You did mention it. North Carolina hasn't played any ranked teams. It would be a great story for them if they could find a way to beat Clemson. It'd be probably the biggest win ever of their football. Yeah, I mean, I would say of their program history in football, that would have to be one of the biggest wins, if not the biggest win. They don't have any national titles in football, so this would be a huge win. but I don't think it's going to happen. Clemson's going to be focused. Dabo Sweeney is one of the great coaches. Have they announced the ACC Coach of the Year?
Dabo yet? Sweeney won it.
Did he win it? Yeah. I mean, that's what I was going to say. Is that he deserves it. He's just a great coach. And he's going to keep them focused. They are going to be ready for this game. They know the importance. They know the stakes. They know if they win, they have a chance to represent their conference in the college football playoff. This is what they've played all season for. They are not going to sleepwalk through this game. They played a close game last week, and that actually is probably good. It's a little bit of a wake-up call. Hey, anybody can beat us. And this North Carolina team is going to be a lot better than that South Carolina team we played. We better be ready. I think it could be close at halftime. It might be close in the third quarter. Clemson's going to do enough to pull away and win the game.
Yeah, I think out of all four of these games, I think this is going to be the most exciting one. I really do. Mm. I agree with you. I'm going to pick Clemson as well. But I think that UNC has the ability to keep this game very, very close. And, you know, I think out of all these games, I think that in terms of, well, I guess USC would be an upset and so would Iowa. But in terms of a completely unexpected no-name team coming out of nowhere, you're right, it would be a great story. And I think that they can do it. And Marquise Williams is a great quarterback. They have an above-average defense. He's got the players around him to make a shot at this. So I don't think it's going to happen. I do think Clemson's going to win, but I think it's going to be very, very close, and I think it's going to be a super entertaining game in front of a sold-out crowd. Tickets are going for, like, the cheap seats in the Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte are going for, like, $150. That's never, ever happened for the ACC Championship game. What would you say before this one was the most highly attended ACC championship game? What year?
I would think it would be the year that Florida State played Virginia Tech.
That was 2005.
Okay, I think that would probably be the highest attended.
Yeah, that probably was. I don't know which stadium is bigger between the Jacksonville Jaguars Stadium and I think Alltel Stadium. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah,
And then Bank of America. I'm not sure what stadium's bigger.
It's actually at that time. I think it was Alltel Stadium. Now it's Everbank Field. But
Okay. Yeah. There you go. Learn something new every day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I was referring to 2005 when it was Alltel Stadium. So I was right.
Yes.
So, but either way, yeah, this is going to be one of the. It is. You could probably say that it is going to be the most exciting ACC championship game. Because even back then in 2005, neither one of those teams had a shot at getting the national title. Whereas this year, both of those teams technically do. And because of where it's situated in Charlotte, I mean, you're sandwiched in between the Clemson fan base and the North Carolina fan base. So that's exactly what the ACC wants, is these two teams. That is exactly what you want.
Right.
For this
yep.
game.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, that's a show, Andrew.
Well, I have a question for you, actually.
Okay.
What do you think about the Al Golden taking over the program at Rutgers? Do you think that's a good hire? Former Miami head coach Al Golden, who's fired, taking over for the Rutgers program.
I don't know.
He's reported to be the guy.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, Rutgers probably needs some sort of spark. But why not hire, like, a Mike Leach or something like that?
Mike Leach isn't going to leave Washington. They had a huge season at Washington State that he's not leaving. I am still shocked that these jobs are all, you know, shriveling
up. Yeah, they're all
up.
Open still.
Nobody has even talked about Navy's coach, Ken Nilituelo. Nobody's even talked about it. I don't understand it.
I still think you know, we've talked about it, and I've talked about it with some people at work. I think that someone's got to bite, you know, pull the trigger on this one. I mean, he's shown so much success. Someone should hire him.
I mean, I don't like Syracuse. Syracuse is hiring probably an assistant or somebody. What is Syracuse going to do? If you I mean, that would be a great hire for Syracuse.
Or Virginia.
Or Virginia. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Or Rutgers.
Yeah. Or Rutgers.
Yeah.
It'd be a better hire than Greg Schiano. Or not Greg Schiano. Oh, yeah. Than Al Golden. Though, Greg Schiano is another one who's getting a lot of talk about interviewing for several of these jobs. And I would take Ken Neltwila over him, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't understand it.
Well, I guess we'll see what happens.
We will
maybe,
see what happens.
Maybe there will be some moves in the next week or so.
We will.
Anyway, Andrew, that's a show. My name, of course, is Will Patton. I have been joined by...
Andrew Brown.
This is the 4th and Short Podcast at 4thandshort.com. You can email us at 4thandshortpodcast@gmail.com, and you can find us on Facebook simply by searching for 4th and Short Podcast. Andrew's been a good show. It's been a good season. I'm looking forward to the championship games, and I guess we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.